Roll call.
Murphy.
Here.
Buffo.
Here.
Harry.
Here.
Ping.
Yes.
Robbins.
Here.
Stuber.
Here.
Okay, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome you to remain standing if you so choose as we pray. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for hearing ears. We thank you, Lord, for open hearts. As we hear from our community, as we make the decisions that are best for the community as a whole, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you and we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why? We're all here.
So I can look at the board packet.
I would just click on the board packet link that takes you to SharePoint.
But it's in the Teams app.
That's true.
We gotta get everybody used to using. Plus my email is super. I haven't had the internet for days.
Really?
Well, it's more of a training. All right. As I'm slowly pulling up our stuff. So public comments. Tom. Here you are in the back there. Come on up.
I'm Tom Swaggart. Most of you people know me. My wife Beth and I own the Monocles in town. And we just wanted to comment on the food truck issue. I've only seen it once in town, so it's not a big issue. I want to thank the mayor for answering us back last week so quick. And he got us an ordinance. Thank you for getting the ordinance.
No problem.
I did go through it. As a business owner in town, we try to keep it local. We buy a lot of our insurance from Loman Ray. I farm, I buy my chemicals from United Prairie. You know, we buy gas from FS, we keep things local. Bringing a food truck into town just is like a kick in the face. We support Little League, we support the high school. I pay $30 a day in real estate taxes. That's a day. That's $11,000 we pay in real estate tax. It cost me $300 just to open the doors at Monocles. Looking at the ordinance, the one thing that really struck me was $50 of a fee to come into town and take business from us. Does that really seem fair? I mean, you guys passed it. You guys are the ones that made that fee.
The ordinance has always been on the books. We revised it because it hasn't been being enforced. So that ordinance has been on the books for a long time. So I brought it up because we've never charged food trucks before. We've had food trucks in town. We've had different ones. I know when Loose Cobra has events, he'll bring in food trucks. Different times. I mean, we're talking like maybe twice or three times a year when he has an event at his place. And we've always had that ordinance, but it's never been enforced to my knowledge. So we pulled it out because I figured we would have them because every community has been getting them lately. I've been talking to people on the board at Sydney, and they've got a food truck in town almost every night now. So kind of talking back and forth with the different board members, I kind of figured this was going to come up. So that's why I put that ordinance on the last meeting because it was there.
I don't know how it came up. I just
heard that's how it came up because I figured we were going to have to deal with it sooner than later. So, yeah, so I'm like, so we brought it up to revise it and actually bring it to everybody's attention and start enforcing it because it's never been enforced before.
And looking at the ordinances, mm-hmm. And you agreed with me, I believe, in our communication, that there were three things that he didn't do, at least, when he came. And you let it ride.
We did, and he came in the next day and took care of it. Because we've never enforced the ordinance before.
It's better to ask for permission than or forgiveness than this permission.
Yeah, beg for forgiveness and then ask permission.
So I can appreciate you being lenient, but at the same time, he came in and took money from It'll Do, from me, and this left. Where'd that tax money go? If he's from Rantoul, that's going to Rantoul.
True.
Sales tax?
Sales tax. I mean, that's not a lot of money. It's a fraction. You guys only get a fraction. But still, I'm sure he didn't buy his gas in town when he got into town. He bought everything from who knows where, came to Tolono, sold, and left. I mean, are any of you guys self-employed? So you don't really know, have a direct effect from anything that happens. I mean, it may affect your job, but it's not money coming directly out of your pocket if somebody gets, if your business suffers something with this COVID or something, it's not affecting you directly. This affects us directly. So again, my biggest thing with it is just the fact that you guys allow it at all, and I'm sure there's, you have to allow it, but the $50 is a joke, I'm sorry. You need something to have some teeth in it, the people will think about coming. So that's my two cents worth. I can't speak for anybody else. That's just how my wife and I feel about it. It's it hits hard. This COVID thing, it's affected every one of us, obviously, but it's hit us pretty hard financially. And any money that we don't get hurts. You know, we employ local people. I've employed you. Don't say anything bad about me. So I think I made my point. I appreciate you listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I wasn't here last week or last meeting, but was it where you could have a truck in town?
Apparently the ordinance has been on the books for a long time.
I know since I've been in here, we had, because Papa John's kept coming in and parking across the street
that
from them,
side.
And we put something in somewhere that said no food trucks.
The ordinance that was on the books, that it did not have that in there.
Okay.
Ordinance that was on, because I figured this was going to come up. So the ordinance we pulled out, and it's the current ordinance, was...
Do you remember that, Mark?
I am trying, and I don't, so I'm not going to say that I remember.
I remember them being here, and I remember there being board discussion about it.
There was specifically a distance requirement.
When I did the codification, there was a place on the list for a food truck ordinance. There was nothing in any of the minutes when it was around the time it was supposedly done. There was nothing in the minutes about any food truck. And I even called Krista to have her look up their records, and she had nothing either. So I don't know if it just got dropped. I don't know.
Well, and about 5 years ago or so, the Kona Ice. Remember the whole thing about Kona Ice coming and selling in town?
Mm-hmm.
And we allowed them to do a pet. I don't remember how we took care of that, to tell you the truth. But I remember them coming in and approaching us.
And I think they came in just to do like baseball games, and then they gave them so much money on top of out of what they made. I don't remember because it's been over.
The Kona Ice, they have a very good reputation of giving back whenever they do come. I mean,
they were doing the baseball games and stuff.
Yeah, and they're in the same category, so I should. But I've heard nothing but good things about them.
And nobody, none of you guys sell. Like snow cones and stuff. So, and that's why nobody had a problem with Kona Ice coming in, and we just kind of like, I think that just kind of, okay, you can do it if you give money back to the park district or something.
Yeah, that's, we let the park district kind of handle
like,
it because
handle it,
it was their concessions it was taken out of, so taken away from. So,
but, so you said they what violations did you say they
violated? I believe it's 200 feet. They were right across the street from the subway. I don't think that's 200 feet.
Yeah, that'd be within 200 feet or 250 feet.
But that's if they're on public.
It's 2 days notice prior to,
yeah.
And he didn't even have a permit. So those are pretty high.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anybody but you.
Anybody but you can ask a question.
I know that character down there. Anyway, I just have a question. Why do you, and I went through this with the IGA, I had 15 years, and we had this happen before with, I don't think any of you were born, you know, when I was. But anyway, this, why do you allow food trucks in here? I mean, what is the advantage of taking away any business at all of what we got? As tough as it is to operate a business now, it was even harder, you know, than today than it was then. But I just asked the board, why would you want a food truck so you could have a burrito? I mean, we got guys that had burritos, you know, and stuff. I mean, why do you have a food truck? Why do we need a food truck?
I don't think it has anything to do with trying to take business away from our current business owners.
But it will.
But anyone going to Monocle's is taking away from It'll Do. Anyone going to It'll Do is taking away from Trackside.
I'm talking about someone from Rantoul.
I understand what you're saying, but
we can't fight among ourselves.
It's not about taking business away from anyone that's here in town. That's under no circumstances do I think any one of us around this table had that thought, that that's what we're trying to do. But what we are trying to do is to promote, you know, additional choices, promote small business in general, and studies, I haven't found the specific studies, but I know studies have been done that speak well about food trucks coming in and how they do bring new people to your community, even passing through, that will then later stop on the next time they're coming through at It'll Do or at Lou and Denny's or at Monocle's, because they've heard of this thing that's now come to your community. Now the next time they already see all of these other places and they're like, you know what, I'm gonna try Monocle's. I haven't had Monocle's in years. I'm gonna swing in there. Or what's this It'll Do thing? Why are they painted blue and gray? What's that all about? So it's not about taking business away from them or Subway. I think it was, from my point of view, it would have never been about taking business away, but providing other opportunities for more people to get into this community so that they can later come back to this community and spend their money at any of our other establishments.
Every time, though, that they buy food here, mm-hmm. it affects our business. I did the same thing with IGA, you know. Same thing. You bring competition in. This is a small town. This is not your large town where you could draw from quite a way. We gotta get customers from Tolono, Pasodum, and Philo and all that to shop with us, to stay open. And it's worse now than it was when I had the IGA store. It's worse. And your theory is good, but I don't think it works.
With all due respect, you haven't got a dog in the fight. We literally have hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in a business that I'm sorry, but you don't have any. And you already said none of you guys are self-employed. And
but how do you figure that just because we're not self-employed, we don't have a dog in the fight? I know we don't have a financial stake in the fight.
Mr. Stuber, here's what I see. You get people that like the food trucks, mm-hmm. they're going to vote for you because they know that you... I think that is the only advantage that you have to support the food trucks.
So do I hear you saying that you believe that any one of us said that specifically to be voted for as a political ploy?
But, again, you haven't got a dog in the fight.
The community is our fight.
You can say that it will bring people in. You've read the studies. I don't know about the study, but I don't think it works in Tolono. As Larry said, I would be willing to bet, and this is nothing against It'll Do, I would be willing to bet that Monocle's brings more people into town than any other business. those cases. And when they come into town, they eat pizza. Hopefully they go get a drink. They buy gas at Casey's. Yeah, they go to Line IFS.
Bruce, what we find here is that we've done it for with 27 years that I have, and it's been a lot longer than that, because when Gus Maggio owned the store and then John Adam and I had it, the business, you know, you only get a certain percentage of customers here. And whatever it takes from here, it means about five times as much as it does in Champaign with this big store. Walmart went up here to take away business. It took away business. And if we, and I have nothing against the people going there, we shop there now sometimes, but they got bakery, deli, and all this, and I understand that, and they work in Champaign, but if, I always said if Tolono would give me 30% of the business, I would be very good. I could do real good, because we don't get it. We get people come in the store up here, didn't know where the produce department was. Water, things like this, never been in the store before, and live right here in town.
Yeah.
And if you ask yourself the same thing, do we really support our town? Do we really support it in the business that we do? How many goes out and eats? I mean, the restaurants are the biggest business, is the biggest competition in the grocery business, is restaurants. It's not putting another restaurant in or something like that. The competition is the restaurants, because they people go out and eat. Now you see now some of the grocery stores have, Rick Bates, he bought the Villa Grove store, and his sales are up. His sales are up good. So I'm not gonna say what or how much or anything like that, but because people stayed home. Mm-hmm. You know, when they close you down,
yeah.
When they shut you in the house, you know, then you're gonna eat in the home. You know, and I always thought, boy, that's great, you know. And I had to rely on a snowstorm. I'd like to sometime just announce one with a WDWS and tell them we got a snowstorm coming. And they would fill it up. But so that's the way it is. I think that's what Tom was getting at, is
yeah.
You don't have a dog to fight. You know, it is things that some people just would not realize what does happen. But when business is like it is now, when they're shut down on things like this, it really affects the businesses here in town. And I don't think we can stand food trucks coming in here and mapping up. The sales tax money don't go here, I understand. Sales tax goes back to Rand too. Well, that's not right. You know, if you're going to let them in there, sales tax should be here. So we should get part of that.
I have two questions. So if it was an actual permanent restaurant, would that be... Are you just saying because it's a mobile restaurant?
I'm saying a mobile.
Is that your issue?
Personally, I have nothing against somebody that wants to invest money in Tolono. It's good for all of us.
But you're saying just because it's a mobile truck and it's not in Tolono permanently.
He's here and gone. I can't see him supporting anything in Tolono.
Sure, no, I understand.
He doesn't give free cards to the reading program at the school,
sure.
At the library that you guys use. I know some of your kids use them. You know,
my only thing was it's just a mobile business.
If somebody wants to invest in Tolono, I think that is great.
I 100% agree with that.
My second thing to you then is, I've lived in this town for 3 years now, and you say it's about promoting business. I never heard of any of these restaurants except for Monocle's when I lived here. I knew nothing. The first time I was ever at Trackside when we had our meeting last year, and I think I eat there three times a week now.
So you live here and you don't support the town?
No, I support the town. I've just never heard of any of these businesses that are in this town. So I think it's probably on, just as a person that's lived here for a short period of time, to know that these businesses are here. Because I had no idea that Trackside served pizza. I've never been in your restaurant. Excuse me there.
So you think a food truck could help you in that area?
No, I'm just saying, you just said about promoting business. So I think it'd probably be a better thing to promote some of the businesses that are here as well. Because I didn't even know some of these existed or where I could go get this or get that or anything like that. So just as far as a spread the wealth out there a little bit to make sure people know where you are and how to get a hold of it.
Jeff posts on social media.
I know,
day.
I get it.
Every
post
day.
Right on.
Jeff, you have something to say? You want to say something?
I've called
your
name.
That was my only thing is
so
you have an issue that it's a mobile food stand, it's not paying local taxes, and then just as a, you know, some people may not even know.
I agree with everything Tom said, but so with the bar in an outside area, I know you guys cut the fees down this year, but it's $200 for us to have outside outdoor seating. That's $16 a week. And this guy's paying $50 a year for a
food truck.
It's just not fair. It's not on the same ground. I pay property taxes here. I don't know if they are now, but $1,300, something like that, small area. But and the sales tax not going back to the town. I know you're old. The guy that owns the food truck, he comes to Sedoris every Monday because we're closed. Buford's is closed over there. So the mayor says, hey, do you care if we bring a food truck in on Mondays? I said, I don't care. I said, have him sit out front. So he sits out front of Buford's and sells food, which is fine. I don't care. I'm not open. But he doesn't come during the week. He doesn't try to take our business. It's free enterprise. I get it. That's what America's built on. But it needs to be a level playing field. If I'm paying, you know, like he said, he's got $300 a day. I'm probably $150, $175 a day to open up. And this guy rolls in with $10 in gas and runs a generator.
And bought it away.
But, I mean, I get it. We can't stop businesses, but at least we can put them on the same playing field. Maybe so much a month or so much a week or so much a day or something for showing up instead of a $50 permit for a year. I don't know what you guys do. We Tolano days, you guys charge for food trucks to come in and stuff?
That's a park district event. It's a
park district event, and the money goes right back to fun days.
I mean, do they charge so much for a spot each day?
So fun day, we charge, I think it's $275 for the fair vendors to come in and set up. Per vendor, and they can be that's Friday
one,
and Saturday.
Day, right?
Friday, they can come in Friday night and set up and open if they want.
Well, that's a huge event, though. I'm just saying
it's a good draw.
It is a good draw.
We've done it. It's very good.
I just don't think $50 a year is enough, and that's just my opinion. But if I'm paying $16 a week of outdoor seating, you know, something's wrong there.
When we were discussing the fee, I know what we were trying to figure out was what kind of draw we were going to get with these food trucks, if they're going to be any showing up at all. So it's kind of a starting point of let's see what happens and then kind of reassess what we're kind of going with.
I do catering too. If I go to Arcola to the Best Western, I have to have a bond, insurance bond, that I pay my sales tax. Because who knows if you didn't report the sales tax. I'm just saying, they require a bond and I have to have all my insurance stuff turned in and all that stuff to this village, or to the city down there. So it's interesting.
Good. That was one thing that I went through the ordinance before I came, and it said you have to have a valid state of Illinois health permit. Don't you have to have a county? Because they're a lot different. I don't know that the state's ever been in my facility, but the county is there twice a year. So I think you need to get written in there that they have to have a county, because I believe there is a big difference.
But we haven't been enforcing any of it, right?
That we have to have Champaign County.
I think this is the first vendor we've had in since Papa John's was here, back when we talked about it.
City of Champaign, if they charge for a permit for a year, but
they do charge because we looked at their ordinance. Do you remember what it was?
I can
we actually pulled their ordinance up and looked at it when we were talking about this one.
I think the county.
I don't. That's what I was asking about. I don't know.
Brian, when we set up.
I believe you because you have a restaurant, so.
They were there, the county sent an inspector for that day to inspect each person that day. So, I think that's something overlooked that the county.
He does have a brick and mortar business in Champaign.
And
so, he does have a facility where he can prep the food and stuff.
No, I'm talking about if it wasn't him or anybody else.
Oh, the county.
I still think they have to have that.
Now, you have to have the serve safe license, too. The food handler's license.
Oh, there's a ton. I bet probably have to have an allergen.
Food manager, yep.
There's all kinds you gotta
I'm sure
have.
Got that.
The state is almost monthly coming out with something else. Yeah.
And so that's the state side, and then Champaign County Public Health for the health permit for the actual trial.
That's all I had. I just wanted
to
make it even plain field.
I get it, and that's kind of was the point of bringing that ordinance out, because it wasn't being enforced. I'm like, we knew we were going to deal with it. The permits run January. They have to be renewed in January, right? So they expire into December and run to January. So with this ordinance, even if they get a permit now, they expire in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
So, and that was kind of the point that where the board was trying to make too, is this is the first food truck we've had other than Fun Day since Papa Dell's whatever they were was here. So see what happens, see the interest we get, and then if we get a bunch of them, they really hurt you guys, then we can, in January when the permits come due again, we can bump the fee up, or we can adjust or say no food trucks. It's kind of an experiment, kind of just to see what would it. Right now we weren't enforcing anything, they could show up and we had nothing really to enforce it.
I don't think you can stop it. I mean, I really don't, and I don't know that you want to stop it. But as I told you in an email, and I totally agree, we need to make it
where it's the same. And I like what Jeff said about it costs you about $16 a week for outdoor seating. I mean, granted, that's because you're a bar that lets you put your alcohol out there. If Monocles want to do outside seating, we wouldn't charge them because they don't sell alcohol. They could put a right. I'm looking at Brandy to make sure I'm not saying anything wrong, but you guys could do outside seating and it wouldn't cost you a dime. Jeff has to pay for it because of the alcohol, essentially.
The old
intro
ordinance should be.
And the reason why the food trucks are venturing out now because we're stopping that on the
gas. Oh, that's true. You are correct. I mean, you're fully correct.
That's what you told me. That's what Euro told me.
Really?
Last night, we're just starving death on campus. There's nothing going on.
Well, and even I don't think the employees are even eating out because a lot of the employees are working at home too.
They shut down downtown, didn't they? Down there, food and stuff.
Campus. Yeah, they did.
I think
they're back open again, but
they
did it for like
food.
2 weeks.
So, what do you think would make this more equitable for the businesses we currently have? What are your thoughts on how to capture some of those finances that really do need to stay here? I have my own ideas, but I really do want to hear from you.
Well, I don't have a business now, but I have an idea.
You are a businessman.
I wouldn't promote the food truck. I wouldn't send out, I wouldn't put it on social media or anything about.
Now, we're not.
Okay. I know it was, I don't do Facebook. My wife said there was comments about it. And,
yes.
And the mayor said there was
the Tolono Wire is not ours. We don't own Tolono Wire.
Okay.
We don't. And then there's a village. There's two Facebook sites. We own one of them and the other Facebook site. That's the one I usually, if Monocles posts something or Jeff posts something, or I try to repost it on that site. And then if Rena catches it or one of the, there's like three of us that can actually do something with it, and we try to repost it back on that site if we see one of you guys post something. But we don't control Tolono Wire. We don't control the village of Tolono.
With the Abe Lincoln face.
We're the one with the train.
I'd like
the
train.
Be limited on how many times they can come a week. You know? Because who's to stop him from coming up here every night and setting up? I think a limit on how many times a week or a month or.
I thought about having a daily fee, like
yeah,
if we know like 2 days ahead of time. Yeah, you have that. It's more work for the ladies in the office, but they're there; they can do it. And if we had we could do an online form too, like we do with the permits and stuff. If you want to have special events, do a daily fee.
It sounds like as a business, we need to go to the businesses that are letting them set up.
It's
because it actually. Obviously
good
dental,
I mean, it's a good point.
Obviously, the dental office let him set up, unless he didn't ask him either.
No,
well,
he did.
And it's like Jared said earlier. The ordinance says you can't be on 200 feet away from a brick and mortar building on public property. So I was wrong when I was talking to you guys. He was on private property, so he could set up right in front of Jeff at FS if FS gave him permission, because it's private property. I mean, I wouldn't think FS would do that, but who knows?
But if you raise it $200, they'd think twice before they go out.
You are correct.
So the city of Champaign is only $200 per year.
Yeah.
And Urbana only requires them to pay to rent meter bags. They have to give them 24 hours notice and rent the meter bags on public streets.
$200 better than $50. Mm-hmm. The drawback there is if you charge them too much, they got to recoup that money.
So they're going to be there even more.
Or have special pricing for Tolono.
$50 tacos. We don't want to get the word out that Tolono don't enforce their ordinance anyway. So then I'll be coming down here.
Well, that's why we're doing that now. That's why we revisited the ordinance too, so it could be enforced. Our police department will.
Okay,
and that night we didn't have anybody on, so that's why I personally went up there and gave him my card and said, you know, if you don't call back the next day, then we would have had Justin send him an ordinance fine. But they called back in, they took care of what they had to take care of, and so, and then, I mean, we're pretty close to having 24-hour coverage anyway, so now they're kind of all over the board, but we're, I mean, we'll be 24-hour here soon.
Well, thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it.
No, and we want this. And
thank you for listening to my text every day, too, by the way.
I'm used to it. But, and that's another thing, too. And I didn't do a good job of putting it out there that we were having this on the agenda because you guys could have come to last meeting. And nobody ever reads our agenda that we post online. So.
But we appreciate you listening, too. I hope I didn't.
No, you're fine.
But I feel very strongly about it. We've got a lot of money invested. A lot of time invested, a lot in the community. You know, we live here, we spend money here. Anything that comes out of our pockets is it's home.
And I think a little bit of it's kind of faddish too. I mean, like right now, people are kind of shy going into a business, or some people are, because of everything that's going on. And I've had people ask, why don't we have a food truck Friday or do this or that? And I'm like, because we have businesses in town. So I don't want to encourage it. But I don't know where to go with that, because it's like, and I know you guys can't just make your business into a food truck.
The thing about it is, though, it's not just here. I mean, the thing about
it's everywhere.
Like Champaigner is losing grocery stores, too.
I know.
Value Check closed last Friday, I think, and that was a county market store. But still, they know Costco's coming in, and it's just like, when Walmart came up here, you know, they used to be that Walmart would build a store and think they could draw from a 40-mile radius, you know. Now they got one within a mile. We got up here? Three or so?
Well, and I would love to have a grocery store in town, but it wouldn't pay to put one here in town by a business owner when you could just run up the road.
And have you just bring a job.
Yeah, as you're on your way home, you stop in, yeah. I would love to have a grocery store in town. We use the IGA probably weekly. We probably didn't buy the bulk of our groceries there probably, because it's easier to grab those on your way in. But we were probably there weekly for something. Milk, eggs, meat. I like the meat department. We were there almost all the time.
Well, I've got no complaint about our business that we had here. I was fine with that. But it just, so many people just shop elsewhere. And then down here, you know, I mean, you can't, a grocery store can't survive on milk and bread and buns.
I agree.
And Sunday when they run out, maybe they need a pound of hamburger because they're having a cookout with all this, and, you know, nobody's got it. And down here they were running out of buns and stuff. I stored some back for the weekends and stuff so I could put it out. But it hadn't been in a freezer, but I put them out. And they could do that, but you can't pay that $3,000 rent and $3,000 heat bill with bread and buns and a gallon of milk.
And something we need to look at you guys for too is what Jared was saying down here. How do we promote your businesses so people know you're there? I mean, everybody knows Monocles because Monocles was created here in town. So it's kind of a business that's a staple here in town. But it'll do is rebranding to Little Buford's. How do we get that out there to people? How do we push it?
And I got to say, Jeff, I'm sorry. I've heard nothing but positive about Buford's over
there. Well, I'm waiting for him to get the Smashburgers at the new one, because that's what I like.
Next week.
I've heard nothing but positive about it. I'm glad he's doing well.
So how about a business sign on the edge of town or something with our logos and stuff on it?
Well, we're talking about tearing down the ESDA shed and making that to a green space, and we're kind of talking back and forth of what kind of sign to put there. I'd like to put a digital sign or something, but that costs a lot of money. I know, lots of money. So
you wouldn't put that in front of
the monitor. Apparently on our website we've got a local business information that site. And it's got your hours and stuff on it. That's something too. Get your hours and stuff to Rena at the front office, yeah, so she knows.
We made an email. TolonoLivingNow@TolonoWild.us. Email them to Rena. I check that one. That's how we update that page.
I'd even do coupons for like people moving to town or something, come in and eat and just try it. You know what I mean?
We used to. I think when I moved to town years ago, we got a care package. So we got a little basket.
It was from delivered. Best.
Yeah, and it had like Monocle's coupons. It had for that ice cream shop we had stuff in there. And like Jared didn't even know about half the businesses in town. Like Trackside, we had the mayor's meeting there with all the mayors and stuff. Your place is too small. Monocle's was an idea too, but they wanted adult beverages, so that was kind of so we were restricted a little bit, but. But when it came to that, Jared never been in there, ever. Because it's a bar. He's like, I'm not going to go in there. Or, you know what I mean? Just didn't assume. Your place, they think it's just a bar, but the food is good. So.
My wife teaches here, so that's the only reason why we ever came to Toronto until we moved here. And we always ate at Monocle's because of parent-teacher conference night and all that stuff. But we always thought it would be a great idea because when we first moved here, we didn't know who the cable company was. We didn't know who anybody was. And it'd be great if you got a packet from your real estate agent or, you know, I think it was the Toronto newspaper before where they'd send you a packet and here's like a free pizza from Monocle's or something from your restaurant or here's our phone number, you know, coupon or something like that.
We did. I got it when I moved to town.
We had it.
And the only reason I know that some of the business, because I work for Coca-Cola, so I know some of the business is here now. What's that? I work for Coca-Cola. But and that's the only reason why some of the restaurants were.
That would be nice.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Every one of them.
For sure.
I think it's a good idea. Didn't know who we are.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys. Get up with the ladies in the office and. We'll work on some ideas. Maybe the village will put together something and
appreciate
everybody can throw something.
Thank you very much.
Cardinals are off.
Thank you for coming in.
No problem. Thank you.
I know you have something to say, Kyle. Come on.
Nope.
Nope.
Here for something else.
Are you on the agenda?
Yeah.
No way. Okay. Maria, you want to speak?
Maria's observing. She's observing.
She did say not yet, though.
Not yet. Do you want to comment on our businesses? Do you have any ideas on that? No? Okay. All right. Well, if you have any questions or anything, ask. All right. What's next? Engineer update. Well, since we got Matt here, we'll put you on the spot now.
I can do public works.
Well, let's go. We don't really have any updates on the other stuff right now.
Is the hole filled back in over there? I haven't been over there for a little bit for our tank. By the park for ejector pit.
The lift station?
Yeah, lift station.
That's going really well.
Is it filled back in yet, or is it still a kind of hole?
They've got a couple lines still exposed. They're waiting for an electrician to come in. Once they get that in, they can test the pumps. Once they test the pumps, they can make sure everything's operating right. Then they can plug everything in, and hopefully that's a day. They're going to have to bypass pump out of that existing lift station and get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going well. They had that wet well tank in within a week and backfilled. So it's backfilled probably. There might be a 5-foot deep hole over there now,
okay,
instead of a 25-foot deep hole. So it looks a lot better. They're doing a great job. Still waiting to hear back from the tree cutter. I've left two messages with him. I'll call him again this week. If I don't hear anything back from him, I'll tell him we're done. I'll move to the next one. That's kind of what I thought.
The same thing happened last time?
Yes. Yes. But this happened like 2 or 3 years ago. That's why I haven't contacted him for pricing for a while. Got a good price.
Nothing's changed.
It's kind of same thing. You know, I was trying to get his insurance, so we had it on file, and I haven't even got a call back from that. So we had Illinois Rural Water came in today he pinpointed that for us. I think we're going to have to hire an outside contractor to come in. That was deeper than what my guys can do. So we can probably get that looked at. It's that pipe. It's a glued joint fittings. Those glued joints just pop apart and start leaking. So it's, I think on Lawrence Street, you can see just about every spot where there's a joint because they've been repaired down Lawrence Street. And now it's going down Woodward Drive. So, and we've got another leak, small leak on in an alley. So there are all these glue joint fittings on these water mains. So, the one thing, and I don't know if you guys talked about anything about the fiber optic lines last board meeting or not.
Last board meeting, we did not.
Well, I've got information from Campus Communication Group for an overall schematic on where they wanted to run their trunk lines and their service mm-hmm. lines for residents here in town. I didn't really have a problem with it, but I think we probably need to do a little bit more discussion as far as, are we going to do a franchise agreement with them, or what needs to happen with them, just like, you know, Ameren and Frontier and MediaCom. This is a utility that's going to serve each individual house. And the other thing is, maybe we can get them to serve our pump stations so that we can actually get our pump stations talking back to the sewage treatment plant. So I don't have a problem with where the locations were on the map that they supplied. And I told, I guess his name is Cole Burris, that.
Yeah.
So, but I think there needs to be more discussion. And maybe Mark has a better idea on, you know, what needs to happen as far as like a franchise agreement with them.
May I jump in there real quick?
Yeah.
I actually had this same concern, but more on the fact that why are we going with Campus Communication Group as opposed to I3 or Consolidated or anybody else?
We're not going with anybody. They're the only ones that presented in town.
I personally have reached out on behalf of the village to Volo and mm-hmm. never responded. I3, they're in a multi-year agreement with Urbana and Champaign. They said they'd bring it to their board after their conclusion of that contract.
Okay.
To discuss expanding into the Loma. None of the others have expressed interest.
Okay.
Savoy has
the Comcast.
Yeah.
Savoy has. They're talking with CCG as well.
They've also done Mansfield. They're doing Muhammad right now.
And maybe that's.
And all those little towns are really liking them so far. From I've been talking to other people.
Yeah, figure out what they've done with, you know, mm-hmm. a franchise agreement or whatever they've done with them, and then just kind of bring that here and make it fit to what we need or what we want. So.
Right. So I'm not specifically against Campus Communication Group. My concern is that we didn't do the extra legwork to make sure that they were the best ones to come to Tolona.
Yeah.
But if you've done that work mm-hmm. and no one is saying, yeah, we'll dig some holes and trenches in Tolona.
Well, and the other thing is we need to have something to say, hey, you know, a year down the road, your line, you drilled through a sanitary line over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much it's going to cost you, because we have to fix that. Because we've ran into that issue before with cable TV. They've drilled right through sanitary service lines, and you know, we need to have something with a little bit of teeth to say, this is what needs to happen, and something that some of these other communities have put in there. Their agreements with them as well. I don't know.
How's the brush pile?
It's getting down. We had to, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, the clutch was slipping out. So Brad came in Monday, yesterday. We got it readjusted. So now we're good to go again. So we haven't burnt this week yet. So
do you plan to stop or anything once crops turn a little more?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. I didn't know if you had a kind of a date or a time.
Cut off.
Yeah. It's getting
close. Pretty close.
I would say what, you're maybe halfway through that pile.
It's, yeah, and then we added probably another 15 loads back in there. Last.
It's gonna take a while.
Winter's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay nice and warm.
Well, like I said, it's a learning process for us, so we're still learning kind of the best ways to do it. So. And the other thing I want to talk about is the board's thought on hiring another full-time employee for the maintenance department. I think we have that money in the budget. Brandy and I kind of talked about that the other day. So that's something I would like to get going. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, because I've got... Since Max left with his issues, it'd be kind of nice to have another full-time employee to have for day-to-day stuff. So, because Jeff was gone last week, so it was Mike and me, and there's times I have to do my inside stuff, so there's not a lot of time. You know, there's times I don't know what's going on. Between inside and outside. Sometimes we need two guys to do something out in the field. You know, if I'm doing something on, you know, in the office, then it's kind of hard to get something. I need more help. So.
We butchered that in, didn't we?
Yeah.
How many full-time employees do we have now?
Two.
Just two for that full works.
And part-timers?
Kind of varies.
High schoolers are right. Two high schoolers we had, and then
there's Jeff, Terry, Larry. Larry's usually in after harvest. There's spring. Brad's in one day a week. I've always got a list for Brad to do. Jeff's been great help. He's been here 5-6 years now.
So. Constant weekly, we have 2 full time and 3 part time?
No, not constant. I mean, it's depending on the week. Like I said, last week it was Mike and I. So.
Terry still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were camping, so that's why they were gone. But something I wanted to at least bring up, this is something that since Russ has been gone, we've never replaced that position. I really feel like we need to replace that position. Not necessarily as a specific, this is streets, this is water, it's just a maintenance position. So, because we don't really have enough people to specialize in each department, so. Any questions about that?
Do you have someone in mind or interested?
Jeff has applied for the full-time position, and like I said, he's been here 5-6 years. on a part-time basis, so he knows how to do everything that we do. So it kind of be, he can step right in to that role.
How many hours of overtime is Mike working right now?
There's not many hours of overtime. We try and keep that to a minimum, but I've got work orders that just kind of keep pushing off. So.
So I had someone approach me at least a year ago, wondering if you were hiring, and at that time we weren't. So I'm looking at his messages right now. He's from here in Tolono, and he'd also be a good candidate for you.
The job description's up to date, right?
What's that?
The job description's up to date, right?
I just sent that back to Rob last week, I think.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it.
Yeah.
The training site we're on had no internet. That would work.
So I mean,
right now I'm not against it, but I want to table it because I have something else I'm working on. I'm working some numbers on another project, and I should have something to present to the board in the next meeting or two, with a route that I'd like to go with it. So I want to hold off a meeting or two.
And to clarify, in our budget, we had this built in, we just didn't have a person, or it's because of where we currently are?
We held off on, I think, because of just to see where we're going to be,
okay,
money-wise. And Jeff has been working a ton of hours, and he does know everything in town. He would be the easiest hire. Little to no direction.
Right? Part-time, yes. 2,000.
So I really have to watch that time too. So.
And if Jeff went over an hour and we had to start paying his retirement, I'm not opposed to that either. The insurance is the only thing we'd have to watch.
If we get open applications, we might get a bunch of good.
Exactly.
Applicants, so.
Yeah, there's, I mean, like I said, I hopefully I'll have numbers and stuff for next board meeting of what I'd like to look at.
That's really
in the meantime, it might behoove you, Matt, to just sort of write up a justification, if you will. What are you going to gain from, if it was Jeff or anybody else coming from the outside, what are you going to gain in terms of
productivity with an
extra
person?
Yeah. What can we see from work orders and turnaround time and what specialties you might want this person to have? If we're hiring for that, if we need that. So I would probably work on that if I were you before the next meeting, if we decide to go that route and approve that.
I can do that.
All right, anything else? Oh, I have a question now. Do we have a leak on Austin Street? There's a whole bunch of water standing in the ditch at Austin and Conduit.
I watched today.
There was nothing on the internet about that. Was there any notification on that?
No. We were doing our quarterly.
No testing?
Test tomorrow.
Can you guys look at that ditch and figure out why it's not draining at all? They couldn't park any cars. When I drove, I noticed that when I was driving in to the board meeting, I stopped. I'm like, do you guys have a leak or so? I actually stopped and talked to them. And they're like, no, the hydrant was flushed or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's, we need to get, we can't just leave their ditch full of water like that. So,
yeah.
It doesn't look like it'd be hard to get it to flow again.
Well, some places there's just no catch basins to run into. I cut a ditch, but it's going to have water standing there because there's no place to run it, too. So.
It's kind of a low spot anyway, so.
Yeah, it like filled their whole entire ditch. It was just full. I don't know, when did you flush?
Saturday.
And it was still full, pretty full, a couple hours late.
It had gone down since 4.
Yeah. I probably flushed 20 minutes, so yeah.
Okay. Alrighty then. Any other questions for Matt while we got him here?
How are you liking that burner?
It's good. Like I said, it's a kind of a learning process, but we're getting stuff knocked out there. Make it look a lot better. Fridays, we've been hosing the hash down, trying to keep smoke down. We usually stop early enough in the day. Everything kind of burns down. We get the water at the top down, so it kind of seals everything in. So it seems to help a lot. We had one complaint, I think.
Is that the one I told you about?
Yes.
Wasn't really a complaint. It was kind of a grumble, maybe.
But
yeah. But he could not smell the smoke at his house. I think it was no notification about it, and like he said, it was like a campfire. I think you guys are doing fine. After we talked to him, he was fine.
Yeah, when we get it burning hot, there's very little smoke, very little. I mean, you can't smell it outside the dome. So yeah, it's doing a good job.
Good. I just sent Justin a message because he was here. I don't know if he went to his office to ask if he
lights
went to present.
I didn't even see him.
Lights off.
I heard a truck start up.
Did he? Okay. Well, maybe.
I don't know if it was his
room. That's why I sent him a message real quick, because I thought maybe he'd want to. So I don't really have any updates for him. I know that he told me when the PTI class, they're having a pretest for the PTI class on the 1st. And so if our guy passes that, he can go to essentially. So we'll find out then. Still working on the study. Gotten compliments about Brown. I guess he's been stopping in, getting to know people and meeting people and
directing traffic during the golf cart parade.
Yeah, they actually enjoyed that. We got a lot of compliments about the golf cart parade from the home, right? The assisted living. Arbor Rose loved it. So lots of people compliment. Talking about trick or treat, lots of things have come up about trick or treat. We have an ordinance about trick or treat. We haven't made any decisions about it, but it's coming up really, really, really quick.
Why do we have to make a decision about trick or treat?
I say if you want trick or treaters at your house, flip your light on. If you don't want your kids to go trick or treating, don't go trick or treating.
Well,
that's exactly
my point. Do you want to even talk about it or
no,
just let it
No, we got
it
an
ride?
Ordinance.
Okay.
I'm tired of government.
That's exactly what I was getting there. You just coming to the chase.
If somebody doesn't like it, leave your lights off.
Yeah. Okay. And I think they're wanting to have a trunk or treat. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
A couple of the churches were talking about doing that and stuff. All right. Cool. As long as nobody has any issues or problems with it.
I agree with Ryan.
I like that approach. Bills.
Make a motion to pay bills as presented.
Second.
Did you have any questions?
No.
Okay.
Just the economic development. What the heck do we get out of that for 20 grand a year?
They do all of the administration stuff. They deal with the auditors to figure out that.
They're also charging us to refinance our bonds though, right? Which I think if we ever do a TIF again, that needs to be worked into the fees of the 20 grand a year.
They go to the county after tax bills are figured, and they figure out what is tax money and what goes to which developers. And
it's kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah, but what I don't like, and this is kind of... I wasn't here when the TIF... I don't think anybody was on the board when the TIF was created. Were you on the board?
No.
So... There's a lot of things that I don't like about it. And one of the things is they kind of nickel and dime us for other things, which I wasn't there. I don't know what the agreement was we signed with them. And like refinancing the bonds every few years, they should be looking at better rates and helping us refinance it instead of us. I think you brought that up, Vicki, that why are we paying them again to refinance our bonds every couple of years? That's something they should look out for us. Maybe if we ever decide to do a TIF again, work that into the TIF agreement. That
well, what I don't like is I've been on here 10 years almost now, and I've never got a straight answer of what we actually make off of TIF. It is never, they've never give up, this is what you're going to get, or this is what you,
this is how much you get.
I know they can't predict totally what we're going to get in the future, but even from present to past, I've never gotten a straight answer from them.
Well, I understand MFT, because that's a percentage of what is the gas that is sold. But with the TIF, they kind of know what the property tax is going to be. And you're right, why, what, for the last 3 years, we've paid money back into the TIF, because they overspent. And then this year is the first year that we're not going to pay money back into the TIF. We're only going to have a couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand bucks in there. I mean, I agree.
They should be able to come in here and say, from today, you have this much money in there. But never, ever have
I
received that information from them. It's been a, whatever you want to call it. Can't say what
else. I find that very odd, too.
Yeah. For a lot of money.
Let's do a roll call on the bills real quick.
Buffo?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Yeah.
Carly Cart ticket.
It says one ticket.
One for 20.
Somebody used a credit card, so the...
Yeah, they it's a miscellaneous fee on the credit card. All right, so that's done. No sewer extensions that I saw, right? Okay. Regular session minutes, September 1st, 2020.
Motion to approve regular session minutes from September 1st.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Perfect. No executive session. Okay, now, you. I take it you're the sewer. Or the sewer, I'm sorry. Hey. The siren.
I am.
Wow.
I'm a cohort here.
Protean slip or something.
It happens. So, as you know, per our contract, we get $10,000 a year to maintain the sirens, maintain the radio system that we use for the sirens, et cetera, pay for gas. We're looking to do a siren upgrade, and we know you're probably going to put your budget this year, but next year. U of I, Urbana, and Champaign have already done it, so is Pasona. It's a very cool system that allows multiple ways for us to do warnings. So, as you all are aware, we live in a small town, you've heard that a lot tonight. Get people to volunteer, especially during the daytime, is very tough. This will help alleviate some of that if, for instance, all of us are at work or all of us are out of town. This new siren system has the capability of setting off the outdoor warning sirens within the polygon that the weather service does. So if it's within a mile of Pelona, it will automatically go off. Now, we still have the ability to set it off. We'll be able to set it off through our phones, through the radio system, and as well as now the county would be able to set it off as a last resort. So like if it doesn't come out originally as a tornado warning, comes out as a thunderstorm warning, we see something, we can still set it off. Unfortunately, as always, there's a cost with everything. It's basically for antennas and stuff like that to upgrade the sirens. We have three sirens, so they would be all done the same exact way. The other thing that goes along with that is when it comes down to EMA, we've noticed, you know, over the last few years, it's harder and harder to get people to volunteer just to do that. So it's one of those things that a lot of the fire guys are stepping up and helping with, like they have in the past. So we're looking for, I can answer any questions you have too, $13,813 to do that. Basically, they're going to upgrade everything on the tower. We're keeping the same sirens we have now. They get maintained every other year for the contract. It's basically putting up an antenna that allows it to be digital. They're putting they called it a digital system upgrade kit. So basically, that's what's going to make it to where the county can set it off. We can set it off with the phones. When the weather service drops that tornado warning, it's automatically going to go off within the village. Just another way to keep everybody safer, to be honest with you.
What was the cost?
$13,813.
That's for all three.
That's for all three sirens. So obviously, that's a little bit more than what our normal budget is, because we obviously take money out of that to pay for personnel costs and stuff like that. So I know it's a lot of money, but unfortunately it's that once or twice time that you get a storm that comes through, especially in the middle of the night. Yes, yet again, I'm going to throw a little pitch. Outdoor warning sirens are meant for outside, but people for some reason still think they need to hear them from inside. So they'll still have the people who complain about that. So, but it'll help no matter what time of the day, because there's been times we haven't had anybody in town, or we've had to have somebody they've worked to come here to deal with it, that sort of thing.
So this may be an ignorant question. I apologize if it is. Why isn't the Fire Protection District putting any money into this?
We use our money that we get every year to do the maintenance on, because unfortunately maintenance is really expensive. I don't know why. Also, if one of those batteries dies, really expensive. Yet again, I don't know why. It's one of those lovely things. They got the market on it. You only get it from one place kind of thing. We also use it to pay for the fuel for the two EMA vehicles you supply. You guys pay for the insurance, obviously, but any vehicle maintenance issue goes along with that, as well as personnel costs. So if we send people to a storm spotting class, that comes out of that money, basically to pay for them to go to that class, as well as like the, if we have to buy them, like a couple years ago, we bought the people some coats because they didn't have anything, so they went out, they didn't have to get wet. The board has discussed helping, but I was basically told to come here and kind of pitch it to you guys, see what you guys would be willing to put up, that sort of thing.
Well, we already put up $10,000 a year.
Which,
right?
We have to by ordinance, or have to by
state law.
State law. Requires it, yes.
Okay.
We did bump it up because it used to be five.
Five, I think.
And then we finally doubled it 6 years ago.
Who doubled it? We did, or the state did?
The board did.
Okay, so is the state requirement five?
The state requirement is that we have to provide EMA protection. We contracted out the fire department.
Yeah, so that's their contract.
If we want to bring it back in-house, we'd give it to Justin and say, here, go find EMA members.
Yeah.
And I don't think we
want
to
do
that.
We don't want to. Right. We want the fire department to do this.
We have some very experienced people who have been doing it for a long
mm-hmm.
time. So
okay.
The thing is, yeah, it's a lot of money up front, but it's that once or twice time, and I hate to say it, you know, you always hear about, you know, it's never going to happen here. Unfortunately, it's going to hit here at some point. I'd rather us be prepared than not have anybody in town. And you know, we usually have somebody here, but daytime, I mean, Jared's on the fire department. He knows the other day they had a fire. There was three people. Just being honest. That's why we rely on mutual aid.
When would you need this by?
We're hoping to get it for your budget next year.
Okay. Well, so, let's put it in the budget for next year, and then we can vote on it. We'll talk about it. We're kind of interested to see. Well, I'm interested to see what everything's going to shake out because of the COVID thing.
Sure.
So far, we're doing all right. I mean, we don't rely heavy on some of the businesses other communities have, so we're used to working with little to no money. Kind of like the fire district.
Are there any FEMA grants, weather service grants?
There, unfortunately, is not much. That's the problem. So it's like everything else, and it's super competitive. Chicago gets all the money for that type of stuff. Bigger cities get all the money. I'm not going to look at anything just for storm sirens or for storm siren upgrades. Usually it's for, you know, for you to put in, if your town's got hit by multiple tornadoes, to put in, you know, weather radios in every house and stuff like that.
I know there was a big push after Joplin a few years ago.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they cut loose a bunch of money. I don't know if any of that was still around or they kind of continued any of that.
I haven't seen anything, but I'll happily look again. It just, unfortunately, money gets sucked up with the government after a while whenever they notice that.
Hey, you're not using that.
Yep,
take it back.
Exactly.
Just so I understand, right now, if we have a storm go off, somebody has to come in to set that alarm off?
Correct. We have to go to the fire station to set that off.
So nobody's here.
You guys don't
carry
the radio
off
anymore?
I have one now. Roger has one. But most of us are working or out of town.
Sure.
During at one point in time.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we have one at each fire station that can be set off, but if we don't have anybody in town, there's an opportunity that means that cannot maybe not go off. Now, everybody's got a cell phone that should go off for a tornado warning or a thunderstorm warning, but
sure.
We don't know how that goes.
So right now, with that,
this is
if basically nobody's in town,
not,
we don't,
I'm not saying
if something happens,
no,
we
not
may
not
have somebody to do that.
Correct.
this, you can do that from anywhere.
I could ping you from the phone. I mean, it would automatically get set off before the tornado warning comes on. So it would automatically go off.
So if the weather station says it's close, it's going to go off.
Tornado warning, it's got Tolono listed in the warning, it will go off.
Gotcha.
Okay, as you should say, relatively should go off.
Sure.
Technology also has hiccups, but...
Yeah.
Now, isn't the National Weather Service still... Isn't there something going on with the...
The radios are not working either.
Correct.
The site is still down.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of very unsettling
back.
Knowing that if nobody's here to shut the siren off, then we won't know it's coming.
This is a no-brainer to me to go to this digital thing.
Yeah. One of the other reasons you should make sure you're signed up for the Tolono Alert System and check the box for weather alerts.
I would. If we can figure out a way to get it to you sooner, could you upgrade them sooner?
We can upgrade them as soon as you want to upgrade them.
Okay.
So as soon as we have the money, you can do it.
Yeah, just be us making a phone call and setting it up.
I think this is a no-brainer. I mean, if you want to go back to your people and say, hey, kick in $3,000, they'll kick in $10,000. We could do so.
I'll happily go ask. If you guys are willing to come up with a decent number, I'll go to the next board meeting and ask.
Seriously. We'll do some number crunching and see where we're at.
Okay.
And I don't know where we're at, so.
That has to happen.
Our next fiscal year starts in May.
That's
right
true.
In the beginning of storm season.
Exactly. We'll go up there and change it out during a tornado.
Hold on!
Okay. Anything else for us?
Do you have any questions?
I don't think so, other than this is a no-brainer and it needs to be done. So.
Did you say...
You're listening to us.
Currently,
I know it's a lot of money up front, but it's going to be that one time that you're going to...
Have some of the bills we pay that's not...
It's insurance.
Absolutely.
It is.
It's an insurance policy, not only us, but for you guys. I mean, you guys want your citizens to be well aware of what's going on. And unfortunately, you know, everybody's moving out of town or whatnot in our fire department. We're down 6 people in the last 4 months.
Did you hear that? The Tolono Fire Protection District is looking for volunteers. Anyone on Facebook... They could use some volunteers.
So, if any of you are interested, come talk to me. I'm always willing to talk to somebody who wants to volunteer. So, if you have any questions for me, I'm going to get the heck out of here.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So, the next one. Oh, we need to pay off the final 15. Oops. Sorry. We held back just a smidge for...
So they
are the roads flat now?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they came through. And
okay.
We held back $9,951.50.
Motion to pay remaining balance to 2020 MFT project.
Is that what we just signed?
Probably.
Is that the
$9,951? I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, we already signed it, so you got approved.
Is that your car?
I'll second.
No. It's probably my golf cart going on the golf cart.
Really?
Just kidding.
Buffo? Yes. Harry?
Yes.
Ting?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
You would be the one with the golf cart.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one, on this one, we're not adding any liquor licenses. We have 5 Class A, and Brandy will correct me if I speak wrong. We have 5 Class A licenses, which all of our bar owners have. With a Class A, you can sell packaged liquor. Trackside wants to get rid of their packaged liquor license. We don't have anything to give to them. So we're actually going to deduct a Class A one. So we're going to go down to 4 Class A's, and we're going to add 1 Class B. So he doesn't have a packaged liquor. Now, liquor licenses are due in October. Is that right? I would like, if you guys approve this, to make it effective in October, like for the October when he renews his license. If you guys want to change the fee on it to make it cheaper, but I don't think really our bar owners really do much package. He just wants it because he can't get certain specials because some of the places come in and they want to promote a product, and he could get, say, 3 tequilas for paying for one, and then, but they won't let him do that because if he has a packaged liquor license, then people will sell those and make profit off of them, and they want to promote products. So it's a minor thing, and he said if we could do it, that would help him out. Plus, he doesn't sell packaged liquor anyway. So it's kind of where that's the history of this, why we're wanting to reduce it. and add the Class B.
The little convenience store, it has its own?
It has its own.
It's a package license. So.
Which is Class B.
Is there any questions on that? That's the only reason that's on there.
I'll make a motion to I don't know what the number is.
O-22.
Thank you.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Then the variance for 1154 County Road 800N. This is a similar to the one we had on the last board meeting where they want to
parcel out.
Yeah, they want to parcel out a parcel.
The homestead.
Same one, the wrong one again. Clicked on the wrong one. So they want to, it's outside the city limits, has nothing to really to do with us. They just want to parcel out something for a building site. We have to approve it because it's within the mile and a half radius. Or we have to say we don't care.
My only question is, should this go in front of?
That they actually went to them and they kicked it to us. Say, we did the same thing last,
the zoning,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my question 2 weeks ago too, but I don't hear so.
So they kicked it to us because they're like, it has nothing, it doesn't affect us. So they just automatically just kicked it to us.
We don't think Tolono's going to grow out to across the street from the school.
It could possibly.
Because they're literally diagonal from the baseball diamond.
Yeah, there's been discussion many times of a subdivision going out there.
Well, we can force them because that was part of the thing we were doing with people that were close enough to force them to sign an annex into us. Or annex agreement to when we get there, they have to annex into us, which are good for 20 years. So we'd have 20 years to...
Because we recently, one of the most previous ones, we did that exact thing.
Yeah, and they were relatively closer.
Yeah, we nicknamed those pre-annexation agreements.
Oh, that's right.
So if the property is contiguous to us, then we would annex them, but since they're not, we can't. So it just says the second that we touch them, they agree to annex.
So we can do that with that approval.
I would prefer that myself.
Okay. Well, we can make that amendment to it, and I guess they would have to be... Do you have to go back to them for agreement?
Yeah, there'd be an actual pre-annexation agreement we do. It's pretty simple. But you would be voting on that again. You wouldn't vote on it tonight.
Okay.
But there wouldn't be any zoning change with this, so it's something that could just be a regular agenda item. It doesn't have to go to anybody special, and you just vote to approve it.
Okay. But we have to approve this ordinance here? That caveat?
No, you could...
It's not. It's just a variance.
Okay.
Well, it's not really even a variance.
What I was saying is we could approve this if they sign that letter, it goes through. If they don't sign the letter, it they have to come before the board and tell us why.
Probably just be easier to wait.
Yeah, I don't think, since it's not really time sensitive.
Okay, that works too.
No need to add extra steps.
All right.
Confuse us next week.
Exactly. So we'll just table it for tonight.
Pretty simple. It's not. All
right. We're going to discuss food trucks.
Oh, so if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
So as I was mulling this over after we got information about a complaint, I thought about, are there any ways to try and recoup an equivalent of property tax money or some kind of money for our community. And so I reached out to the Urbana Park District because when I worked there, we had a park membership fee that someone could pay if they were not a resident in Urbana, but they wanted to have the benefits of being a resident. They could take the assessed value of their house and we could plug that into, so they'd have to bring us their tax bill. And then we could plug that into into a formula with the tax rate of that taxing body. and it would show us what their actual tax liability would be to the Urbana Park District. And if they wanted to pay that, they were a member for the year. And they got all the resident benefits for that year. So that started me thinking, one, how do we actually figure out a good value to use with a business for such a tax calculation? So that's where I look to you guys to figure out, because that would definitely increase the fee that they are paying for a year of food truck opportunity in Tolono. It would definitely probably be over $200 too for the year.
Well, we could also charge a daily fee.
Like, but we're already charging a quote-unquote daily fee of $10 a day, according to the ordinance, for the whole $50. Sorry, that's for
peddlers. But for the food truck,
yeah,
is only $50 a year.
Yeah.
So and that's what I was talking to Jeff about, because he pays, what, $16 a day for outside seating? I can't remember what it was. Down. Which is different because he has the liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he does it. Monica's
mm-hmm.
could set up. But the food truck, we could do something similar, where every time you set up, it's $20 a day. You have to have 2 or 3 day notice to the village. You have to get a permit for that day. And that would kind of be equivalent to the property tax-ish. Actually, they probably end up paying more than what somebody would be paying for property tax if they came.
Well, property tax to the village, yeah, because our property tax is all going to school.
Exactly, good point. Because really, out of a $3,000 property tax bill, only about $100 of that goes to the village anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really rough figures. It might be a little over, a little under. Because we looked up some of them one time, some of them just to see how much the village gets. That's like annexing these properties in when they're like somebody throws a fit. It's like, well, it's really a very minute amount of money. One police call, and think of the money that the hourly wage of a police officer, and is over what you pay in property tax.
Do you want to put up something more like a limit on it of $20 per day, $20 per arrival, but you can only do 24 a year? So if they wanted to pay the full amount.
So like twice a month?
We want to come 24 times in 2021, so we're going to pay the full 480, whatever it is, up front, or you can pay $20 each time. You just can't come more than 24 times in a year.
Mm-hmm. I would make this suggestion, though. We can talk about this, but not make a change to it until January.
That's
just because the permits are new. We just started this. We've had one person pay, and I don't want to yank it and redo it, but it gives us several months to do it, and I want an agenda item, say, the two meetings before the January date, that we have it on there to make a decision.
I'm just asking a question. Is there any chance when we talked about this in the past that it just didn't get put in the ordinance?
There is a possibility, because I remember having discussions about this, and I remember being
told
that we don't have a food truck ordinance.
Yeah,
that's why
I remember specifically talking about it, and there was, I think we put a halt to it. Specifically because we don't get any of the income tax from it, and it's against our businesses.
Well, and this is what I brought up with Brandy, and I'm like, we don't have a food truck ordinance. She's like, yeah, you do, and it's right here. So I'm like, that's why I brought it to the board.
I'm wondering if... Are all of our past agendas on record?
Most of them, yeah. They're supposed to all be.
I remember us having discussion about it when we got rid of prohibitions of food trucks. I was on the board then. I also had heard at that time about prior discussions that put prohibitions on food trucks.
So I almost wonder if Plackett wasn't even the mayor when we were having that discussion.
I just remember coming up.
I know
with
Jeff.
Ice.
Jeff and Ghoulish was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically talking about it. Because they were literally parking in Roman Ray's or Claire's
mm-hmm.
spot now, like once a week.
They're also parking at trackside too.
Mm-hmm.
They?
Yeah, that's
well,
why they moved.
Before
that's
trackside.
Why they moved from after got kicked out of there.
Yeah, I think it was actually a distance to the business. That's why they moved over to this side of the tracks.
And yeah, we've had one food truck. And I think they probably did good business. It seemed like there was a crowd. We drove by
They're coming
times.
Back tomorrow.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
Someone
who works for the business that is hosting them.
I mean, that's those guys are going to talk. If they're not going to make any business, they're going to tell the other guys, don't go down there. It's
mm-hmm.
not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the thing about it is, with the food trucks, it gives something different for people, too. And I love going to the businesses here in town. I have my favorites I go to and this and that, but and I think everybody kind of does. I don't think it's drawing business away necessarily from Monocle's because they have a set crowd that goes there. Maybe a little bit, but then people are going to go to the food truck and they're like, eh, okay, it's old news. And their prices were kind of expensive. So I think it's a fad. I think if they do start coming on a regular basis, then, I mean, businesses are going to fluctuate back. I don't know. Like I said, we have it on here. We can try it out, see what happens.
I think there's tons of positive from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of positive comments. Tons.
And that's the weighing of
well, and
good for the community, good for business. And
I think
how you do
part
it.
Of the concern is specifically right now, while communities are trying to get back on their feet after our governor shut everything down, they would. I can understand our businesses saying, "Thanks, we're trying to get back on our feet, and you allow something in that's kind of sweeping it out from under us." But at the same time, no restaurant has a monopoly on any food. So, I was shocked to see one so quick after we.
I don't think that was why. I think it was kind of
just a coincidence.
Coincidence. I think it was a complete coincidence.
I'm kind of intrigued by the sign idea, something out front, almost like the interstate signs of, this is what we have here in our town.
Yeah.
Normal.
It's got to be nicer than that, though.
Yes. But that same concept.
Yeah.
And I know we drove when we did our thing at Trackside. We contact all the businesses. Hey, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You're invited. Bring something.
Some of them participated.
Yeah.
Some of them did not.
What's next?
Next on here is
Geobond.
The bond issuing
they
stuff.
They never submitted the ordinance.
They never did?
No, after all that on Friday, and I had to redo the agenda and repost the agenda.
This is the one you guys, Bess is back to. It was Ice, wasn't it, right?
Ice Miller. Yeah, they were supposed to have sent the, they sent me at like 3:30, 4 o'clock on Friday, they sent me an email that this needed to be on the agenda after we had just like posted everything. And so I had to go back through and redo the agendas and repost, and they were supposed to have sent me the ordinance, and I've seen nothing.
So are we going to have a special meeting?
No idea.
Yeah, because here's the email posted before. I was making sure I didn't miss it, so. Yeah, Friday was the last email I got from. All right, well, so we can skip that one.
That's
the,
it.
Is that it? Okay, so I had one email I wanted to bring up from a resident. She's complaining about the recycling bins. Their main complaint, can businesses use the recycling bins if they're a business in Tolono? Thoughts?
They're paying taxes just like a homeowner is.
My response back to her.
And we just got a big deal how they're paying taxes.
The businesses she complained about, she's actually taken pictures of them using it. And the what I responded back to her, this business pays over $10,000 a year in property tax.
I know which one she's complaining about because I had made the comment last week because I watched them unload two vans full.
Yeah,
so are they monopolizing one dumpster? Like, hey, it's there, let's go.
Like an entire van full.
It's
twice.
Cardboard, right?
Yeah.
Cardboard. And then, and I've seen them come by two before, but it's cardboard they're putting in there, but they pay over $10,000 a year in property tax. And that was their property tax before they bought the business. And they paid a lot more than for that business. So I imagine their property tax is probably double that. They pay sales tax to us because it's a business here in town. I don't know, thoughts?
No.
And it's a pretty thriving business.
We did say it was a residential recycling program. But
they pay more towards it than probably a dozen of our houses.
But we just sat here and said that they don't actually pay that much.
Well,
because
on a $10,000 property tax bill.
I know.
And then we're getting sales tax from them too.
Yeah.
But if they're filling,
if they're
half,
taking
even,
it away,
even a third of one bin that only gets changed out.
Once a day,
then everybody else in town is not getting the opportunity.
Well, and it's something. Has anybody ever said anything to them? I'm guessing not. I'll go
don't
out there
they
tomorrow
have,
and talk to them because
don't they have
they're
do
great
they,
people.
Do they not play trash service?
No, it's recycling. They're
like,
they don't want to
do
throw
they not
it away.
Play trash service?
Well, they have dumpsters
not,
out there.
Do they not?
But it's recycling
for the business.
Yeah. I mean, Chris's doesn't do recycling for the. Our residents.
If they're paying property taxes and stuff like that, but I would say that if we talk to them and ask them, be like, hey, we
be
need
mindful of the residents.
Be mindful if
I
we
bet.
Could, you know, let us know when you plan on bringing these by. That way we don't shove them in on their Friday afternoon and then we get 75 phone calls to the office saying we can't put recycling because it's piling up in their garage.
And I just read this during the board meeting, so I'll talk to them tomorrow.
Do other businesses
I think they'll
use
be
it?
Completely. Oh, yeah. I've seen other businesses use it.
I'm sure some of it is, too, being a business. It's, yeah, they let it build up, and it's also, hey, we're slow today.
Go
take
that over there, yeah. And I think. If he knew, and this business is very we're environmental conscious on stuff that they do.
I sure think we just talked to him, hey, spread it out a little bit more.
And I think they'd be fine with
that. Don't do it on a Friday afternoon.
Well, I'm sure they get a big, huge job, and they have two van loads full of cardboard after the job. If that stuff comes, everything's packaged in cardboard. Cool. All right, what else do we have in here? Anything I'm missing?
The letter for the nuisance property.
Yes. That was in the action items. Thank you. That's the one I kept opening on accident. Okay. So, on this property, their timeline is correct, on what's gone on. They ask us for dirt to dump onto this property. It's not the village's job to spread the dirt. We brought it there for them. If they don't want the dirt and they don't want to spread it around, my suggestion is we can collect the dirt back. But we dropped it there in 2019 and we gave them a name of a contractor to spread it for them. They don't have to use that contractor. They can use whatever. They just ask for a name at the time. That's the name we gave. I mean, there's...
they just never graded this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they never graded the property.
And
is this by the apartment?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it?
I think
we
so,
we have knocked
it
down a few times to them when we're still adding dirt to that. So they can't say that it hasn't ever been somewhat leveled off.
But they wanted us to go ahead and regrade their entire yard, and that's not ours. We can't regrade a private residence's yard.
No, because we'd hit their garage or something.
Exactly, or then, heck, come do my yard. It's not flat. So I think that'd get us into a trick bag of...
We dumped dirt in their house, in their front yard in 2019.
Yeah.
And told them that we would deliver the dirt, but they had to dispose of the dirt themselves.
Yeah, because their yard flooded.
Right.
And that was the decision back then, because we've been doing this since 2016. And our guys, you guys did some work on the ditch, right? Drainage line?
We tried the shed line. They thought that was what was backing up. We filled a catch basin they got on their private property with Zachary to make sure that wasn't going to happen. And then the water stand, because it was a big low spot in that yard. So,
and we try to help people as much as we can,
right.
But getting water off of people's property is, according to our lawyer, is not our responsibility necessarily.
This is a private residence.
Yes.
Correct? And did we tell them to contact Mr. Brown? To contact him?
I think we gave him his contact information.
Yeah, I gave him two or three different names. So.
Heck, the kid right down the street from me will do it too. He's got tractors and stuff. He's not much of a kid anymore. Young man.
Kind of goes back to
this.
Good, do things in writing still. We're gonna drop
writing,
this. It's not our job to.
This comes back in Nipsism, but we tried to be helpful on something we didn't have to be helpful with, and now they want us to come finish their entire project. And then they won't mow it until we come over and do work on their property. I think. With this one, we need to pursue the ordinance, keep pursuing the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, they don't want to do anything about it and complain about us putting the dirt on there. We can take the dirt back.
And that was the other thing, too. We can collect the dirt back. Mm-hmm. And so.
No, because then that's sending our people out to their property. If our guys do something while they're on their property collecting our dirt.
Oh, I know. It's a complete trick. And that's part of being a small town. You want to help people out and you go above and beyond. And then it comes back and kind of...
I mean, I could see if this was like a month or two, but this is...
It's been over several years.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Any other discussions? Anything else?
I got one question on Bleachner's property, Matt. This is approved permit, correct? And their stuff falls within all the guidelines. Is there a second story on that garage? And then my other question would be, how tall is it? Okay. Something we can look at.
Did we ever find out about the... What you asking about the driveway?
I don't know. I could have been.
On Central, around the thing?
Oh, that's the temporary driveway, but then not...
Yeah, I think the only thing we can really do is have them put the correct size culvert in there.
Well, that's the thing. There's nothing that says... I mean, I can look and see what the definition of culvert is. Defined as a size, but we have nothing that says you have to have a 12-inch or a 10-inch culvert.
Was it in that new ordinance, though?
No.
No?
The new ordinance is the old ordinance retired. So.
For $14,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that we have a committee that's supposed to look over that?
I thought that's what we were paying them to do, was rewrite. And update.
So we look at it pretty much word for word.
Well, why don't we look at verbiage to put put in there so we have a minimum of a 10 to 12 inch. That's what it needs to be.
Yeah. Like I said, I can look and see if there's something that defines a culvert size, because that what they've got in there is not a culvert.
It's a piece of PVC.
PVC pipe.
Plastic, yeah. And then the it's standing water, but it's standing water in their own yard, so.
About the one behind the fence?
What's that?
About the one behind the fence?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see.
I just don't think there's any way to drain that to get it to drain.
Yeah, no, they
kind of created. I don't know if it's necessarily in their property, because their property ends at the fence.
No, that's their ditch to take care of.
But,
it's like anybody else that has a ditch in their yard.
It could be dedicated to riding,
mm-hmm.
But,
they have to mow it, maintain it. And
so we have to make sure that they're just maintaining it.
Yeah. So, oh, can we relook at the other? I can't even think of their name right now. So that variance, I think that should still go through them. And they should come back to us with a recommendation.
The variance for
like the one we just had today. And then, I don't know, I've got some other issues, but I don't know if it's the right time to talk about it.
You know you have issues. Okay. Well, do you want to, we can kick it back to them.
I'll make the recommendation
that they meet about it. We want a zoning letter with it, and then they can
That's the whole purpose behind that committee is, it comes to us, here's what we think, this is why, and then we have that information to vote on it.
I agree. The other one was, they were way outside of the village, is why they didn't do that one. But I on this one, I truthfully, I didn't look at the map on it, so. That's a good catch by Terrence. Anything else?
I think we need to go back to some of these nuisance properties. We have several that are same for months now.
We do.
We need to take next steps on some of them, I think.
Well, on some of them we need to take next steps. Some of them we need a board member and to actually go look at some of them, because Justin's got questions on them. He's looked at them. They've done some compliance issues, and he wants a second opinion of a board member to look at them. And I have not had time to go drive by all of them. So.
Just go and look at what they've done and.
Yeah. Just because Justin wants to say, can it come off? Because they've done this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
So if a board member wants to volunteer to work with Justin and look at him and give him a second opinion, he'd really appreciate it.
That's fine. Just let me know.
You want to do that? Perfect. Or do you want to split the list up and everybody take a handful of properties, or do you want to do all of them? Look at you.
Okay.
You want the ticket book too? I know you do.
Hey, Mark.
And the four wheeler. No, I mean, if
that's four wheeler.
All we're doing is just going to make sure.
Do you know where we are on Grady and the.
That's fine.
Daniel Grady and the disputed property?
Fits.
Boy, the answer is no. My recollection is that he had hired a lawyer who was clearing up the title issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be happy to talk to you after the meeting and tell you what else I know.
Okay.
They actually, no, not right now.
Well, I know, but...
We have bargaining power in that, but there's actually maybe some tentative offers on it right now. There was a question proposed.
Do we need to go to executive session to
discuss? No, there's not an actual written offer, but there was some questions brought up on some stuff that we're getting some answers on and stuff.
I think there's a governor's order against that.
What?
Going into executive session.
Executive session. There's no reason for executive session. It just there's some wheels moving on that right now. It'll probably go nowhere, but we'll see.
I have one question, and it's just because I'm on the HOA. What defines what is HOA property and village property? Who works on this and who doesn't work on that?
You can actually look on GIS, and it'll show you where HOA property is.
Right. No, I mean like our subdivision. But we were just looking at drains and stuff like that. And when we formed a subdivision and an HOA, those drains become our problem, not the village's anymore. Correct?
Yes, if that's how it was set up. Yeah.
We're just getting a lot of questions on, is that the village? Does the HOA enforce that ordinance? Does the village? So I just wanted to ask what defines who enforces what and who works on
it? She should have verbiage. If not, he probably has verbiage on what is who's as well.
I'll be happy to briefly talk to you about it after the meeting or talk about it now.
No, it was just a general question.
Thank you. I couldn't think of perfect.
I would do either of those things as a trade against executive session. That's just
it was nothing particular.
But you're not the only person who might have that question.
So yeah, okay, the thumbnail sketch of it is that you've got the whole subdivision that got platted up into little lots. And on the little lots, in between them are the public streets. So when the developer got that plat approved and then it got recorded, what happened is all of the land got broken in little pieces. So you bought lot 12, and that's where you live. And you bought lot 12 subject to the restrictions of your homeowners association and all of the rules. And then the streets got dedicated to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a dedication in the plat that says those are our streets.
Okay.
And we're stuck maintaining them. Same thing with the sidewalks. So we would have signed off on the streets are thick enough, our engineers looked at them, and the sidewalks are okay. So okay, we'll accept the dedication. Part of the development when they developed the property was to show us that the all the improvements weren't going to change the runoff of the water. And so part of the plan was to have the drainage that you've got drainage lines and things like that. All of your tile, all of the drainage still belong to the association. It's one of the reasons why you have an association.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be possible that there might be some sort of public access main spot where it drops off to us and then but that would be a public record that would show that in thing, and I don't think there were on any, but it's been a long time since I thought about that. But so I think what's black and white are the streets and then the sewer lines that run in the streets. And then the drainage is pretty much yours unless you find something that shows we're supposed to maintain something. But I don't think there's anything like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Stuber, do you have any questions about that?
I did not.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we done?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Did you have something to say?